My thought this morning is about inspiration. And I've made the statement several times that I'm very thankful for inspiration, and I truly am. I'm grateful for the times that the things click in my mind and that realization dawns upon my understanding, and I'm thankful for the ideas that come, not just to spiritual things, but, you know, we all need inspiration, whether you're trying to be prepared to speak about spiritual matters or there are times that we get to the end of the rope, so to speak, in trying to sort out perplexing things in our everyday lives, in our job task. Just recently, I had a situation there at work that I got down to the end, and it was like, I don't know where to go from here. I've swapped pieces back and forth and put some new parts on, and it still does it at a certain time. And I felt at such a loss. And then as I began, I couldn't read anything in the book. I searched on the Google and all of this stuff. You know, I thought, well, I've tried all of my resources. I needed some inspiration. All right. So I'm thankful when inspiration comes that helps us in those moments of real need in our life, whether it's in our work or whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in trying to get a better understanding of the Scripture. I'm thankful for every time that I have listened to something that God has inspired someone to speak about. It has fed my soul many, many times down through the years. And I want our service today to be something that will feed our souls and something that will cause us to be encouraged and to be challenged and to know how to move forward in our walk with the Lord. So here's my direction that I want us to think about inspiration. I'd like to go to Job, the 32nd chapter. And we all know the overall story of Job and how that he came into distress in his life because of no fault of his own, but he came into distress because the enemy was picking on him. And then he had his Job's comforters that came. The Scripture calls them his friends, but we don't read very much of it until we decide that we would rather have different kinds of friends than these men that came to be with Job. They did have some respect for Job, but the situation was not improving. And here we are in the 32nd chapter, and there's been a lot of dialogue back and forth between Job and his friends. And we have a man that's introduced in the 32nd chapter that had not spoke up until this time. And he says, beginning in verse 6, "And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid, and durst not shew you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. So there is something that can supersede wisdom sometimes, and there are things that experience doesn't always have the answer for. All right? So this man says, inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There is a time that inspiration can meet the need of the hour when wisdom and experience won't do it. All right? There's times that your experience and your wisdom, your education, the knowledge that you had won't give you the answer. I'm not talking about another person coming into your life, but your own personal wisdom, your own personal experience won't give you the answer that you need for the dilemma that you have. You're going to need some inspiration from God. All right. So I want us to think about today this environment that we create to get our inspiration. I have heard, and through the course of my life, many people defend things that I feel like are toxic environments. And they say there's no evidence, there's no proof, there's no reason to believe that putting your children and allowing them to spend hours and hours and hours sitting in front of a television is bad to them. There's no connection between the things that they see and the things that they do. I've had that kind of thing said to me. But I've also read to where as the hours spent in front of that increases, there's other things that's negative that increases in our society too. So I want us to think about the atmosphere that we subject ourselves to that ends up giving us inspiration. Inspiration. You know, sometimes we have songbooks that says something about inspiration on the front. And, you know, I think inspiration, the first thought that came to my mind is something that causes me to lean toward godliness. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. But, you know, there are people that ideas pop in their head that's really, when you get down to it, by definition, it's an inspiration to do ugly, mean things. But they've been inspired to do this, to put into action something that they have maybe subconsciously been acclimated to. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'd like to go to a familiar verse over in the New Testament in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in the 4th verse. And this is the passage that I got read to me many, many times as a young person, as a young child. But he says here in 6 and 4, of Ephesians, he says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Did you know that no matter how unfriendly the parent-child relationship might be, at some point or another in their life, that child is going to be inspired to be like their parent. You can be a very, very negative situation. It can be something that you want to save the child out of if you're aware of this negative situation. And there are times, you know, I've had a young man one time say to me that he had a reputation to uphold. Well, the reputation that he was trying to uphold as a teenager was, and he knew it, it was a reputation of being mischievous, a troublemaker, all kinds of things that was, I feel like, negative characteristics, but he had a reputation. Why did he feel motivated to do that? You know, he was inspired to be that way because of the atmosphere he had been in by his parents and other family members, and he felt like he had something that he needed to continue to perpetuate. He was inspired to do that. But it was because he was in an atmosphere that was conducive for him to get that inspiration. So it says here, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So as parents, we have a responsibility, speaking specifically to fathers here. So whether we want to address this specifically to the father or the mother or both, you have a responsibility to create an atmosphere that will cause them to be nurtured and admonished in a way that they would be inspired to do the right thing. Okay? At some point, they're going to want to be just like you. Hopefully, you're a good example, and that is a prevailing inspiration in their life. But if not, hopefully they get inspiration from somewhere else to be good and to be respectful and courteous and contributing to society. I think of my intention, although I know I've had many failures, but my intention has been to try to create an atmosphere that my children would be inspired to do the right thing. That they would be in an atmosphere where they would be prompted to have the idea of how to commit themselves to God and how to look to Him for direction instead of scoffing at what they hear the preacher say, that they would be attentive to that, that they would be inspired to listen and be inspired to acclimate their lives to where it would be patterned after God's example or Christ's example. That's why we've had family worship and still do. That's why I've disciplined my children and had to be really firm with them at times, because I was nurturing and admonishing them. It's why that over the years, and maybe these years are past, unless we do this for grandchildren, but over the years, my wife not necessarily at the same time, generally it was just one or the other of us, have been a part of events like extracurricular things that our children were involved in school, where we were the only parents there. In fact, parents weren't really encouraged to be there. And many times we had to say, "I'm going. I'm going to be there. I'll help you if I can. But I just want you to know I'm going. And my child will stay with me. They're not going to stay with their classmates in another room somewhere else. They're going to stay with me. You can call me what you want to. Overprotective or hover dad or whatever you want to call me. But I'm going to be involved. I've been there. My wife has been there. Why did we do that? Because I don't want them to get inspiration from a bad source. Hopefully you can kind of catch the drift I'm talking about this morning. So consequently, I've paid for motel rooms and drove many miles because I wasn't really authorized to ride on the school bus. I drove along behind. I've done that many times down through the years. Why? Because I wanted it. I did not want my child to be in a situation that they could be inspired to do something that I could prevent. Y'all can criticize me later. I want you to never underestimate the power of our surroundings and what we subject ourselves to could influence our inspiration. Our surroundings influence what we feel inspired to do. I'm glad you're here this morning, because in this setting, hopefully, we'll be inspired to draw our hearts and minds closer to God. You could have chose this morning to do something different. There are places of entertainment that you could have went. As far as I know, the casino is open this morning. You could have went there. And I promise you that the atmosphere would not have inspired you to turn your mind towards God. All right? But neither would you have been in an environment that your own inspiration would have cultivated a closeness with God. But here, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create an atmosphere that's conducive for you to be inspired to do something that would make your relationship with the Lord just a little bit closer, a little bit more fervent, a little bit more enthusiastic, or a little bit more reality for you, instead of just going through some motions and feeling like I paid my obligation. No, we want the relationship with God to be more inspirational than that. And we want an environment where your inspiration can be in the right direction. Okay? I knew a man one time, lived across the street from me. We moved to that little neighborhood. I say neighborhood, it was just like this. It was just a street with some houses on, and my wife and I moved in. We didn't have any children, and they had a son that was a little older than our oldest one, and then a little later, they had another son. And our oldest son was born while we lived there, and then a few years later, maybe when our boys was approaching high school years, we had moved away and they had moved to a different place. And so I was in talking to this man, and I was just asking him, I said, "Well, how are your boys doing?" And he said, "Mean as snakes." And that's just like I like them. And I thought, Lord have mercy, why would you want your child to be as mean as a snake? What kind of atmosphere inspired them? What did they get? Where did they get the inspiration to be mean? You see what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure they didn't have family worship. I'm pretty sure that he taught them to defend themselves in every way, physically, emotionally, attack somebody else before they attack you. All of those kind of things. That was the atmosphere that they prompted their inspiration to be mean as snakes. So, you see what I'm saying? We want to create an atmosphere that fosters the proper inspiration. I don't want that for my children. I don't want that for my grandchildren. I don't want that for anybody. I'd like to go to Genesis now, the 30th chapter, and notice a familiar account I think, to all of us, Genesis chapter 30. And this is a story of Jacob, maybe beginning in verse 30. Jacob has decided that it's time for him to go back home. He has married Leah and Rachel, and there's been children born, and Laban, his father-in-law's herds have prospered, and Jacob has prospered, and he has a real desire to go home to his, where he come from, where his parents were from. So he says, in verse 30, he says, "For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also?" And he said, "What shall I give thee?" And Jacob said, "Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. For so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me." And Laban said, "Behold, I would it might be according to thy word." Well, this is a deal better than I thought for. Now, today, if you got a splotchety, speckled livestock, and you take it to the livestock market, it won't bring as good a price. I mean, that's not a big secret. You take a solid red cow, solid black cow, it'll bring a better price per pound than an old one that's splotched and speckled. And so Laban thought, "I'm getting the better end of the deal." And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of the sons of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and hazel and chestnut trees, and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which were he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-straked and speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not into Laban's cattle. And it came to pass whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters that they might conceive among the rods. And when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and he had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. Okay, I'm not going to get into the technical aspect of how this functioned and happened, but it did. It's in the Bible. I believe it happened the way the Bible records it. And I just want us to get this point. Jacob created an atmosphere that inspired the cattle to do what he wanted them to do. All right? I don't know how it all worked. I just know that we got a record of it. I don't know how it all works when it comes down to what inspires people to do what they do. But I know this, the scripture commands us to create an atmosphere that nurtures good behavior, that admonishes and disciplines misbehavior. Whether it's in our home, we have a responsibility to create an atmosphere where those around us will be inspired to do the right thing. We can't do otherwise. So I want us to think about now what we, you know, I choose the atmospheres that I subject myself to, whether it's coming here. Okay, most of us has been to the mall. You know, there's an atmosphere in the mall that's different than the atmosphere in the stores that are all by themselves. I don't know. I can't really explain what's going on in there, but there's a some kind of undertone in the mall. Not just the mall here in our location, but everywhere you go, there's an atmosphere about the mall. I'm not saying you shouldn't go there, but I'm just saying that you shouldn't be unaware that there is something there that could inspire you to do something you wouldn't do if you wasn't there. That make sense? I'll give you an example. Not from the mall, but from another place. My wife needed something from, she needed some birthday candles and some vanilla ice cream. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Well, I went into the super center, walking down the aisle. You know, they got these places between their aisles where they have the food. They got these things they set up in the middle that you got to go around. You know why they do that? They get more surface area for me and you to look at. And we get inspired to pick up something. And we wouldn't, you know, I went in there not thinking about white cheddar Cheez-Its at all. But I came out with a box of them. I went in there and I was thinking about getting birthday candles and vanilla ice cream and a couple other things while I was in Walmart Supercenter. And I was driving down there, and because the atmosphere that was there, and I was feeling a little hungry, and you know, I thought, that kind of like to take, I've had some of those before. That sounds pretty good. And I got inspired to pick up a box of white cheddar Cheez-Its. And I had some of them before I got home. You know, we have to really, don't go grocery shopping if you're just ravenous hungry. You're liable to pick up stuff that you didn't intend to. You can be inspired by the atmosphere that you choose to put yourself in. There are many people that said, I never intended to get drunk. But because of their atmosphere they was in, they ended up drunk. I never intended to steal. I never intended to feel inspired to do whatever mischief it was, but they did. Why was it? They allowed themselves to be put in an atmosphere that inspired them, ultimately. You know, we're going to be responsible for what I do, each one of us. And when we're in a place that could inspire us to do something that has a bad consequence, we need to think about going into that place or that atmosphere. I'm not just talking about specific places there. But Jacob caused the cattle and the sheep and the goats and apparently the camels and the donkeys to be inspired to do something they didn't normally do. I don't know how it all worked. I don't know what causes people to be inspired to do some of the things they do. But I'm pretty sure that if they would have chose to do something different, they wouldn't have got that inspiration. When we're talking about negative things, we can associate ourselves with influences that will inspire us to do it too. They're doing it, I get inspired to do it too. It didn't kill them, They look like they're happy. Hey, good idea. That might be an idea for me to try. You see what I'm saying? So what my thought is about this morning is we have to be very conscious of allowing ourselves to go into an atmosphere or circumstances that would inspire me to do something I wouldn't really want to do. All right, let's go to Proverbs, the 18th chapter. And we'll notice a verse down here, Proverbs 18, and I believe it's the first two verses. It says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. That's not what I want. I want the verse that says the father had ate sour grapes and it sets the children's teeth on edge. I don't know. I'm in the wrong book or something here. Maybe somebody can find that verse for me. Let's go to 23rd chapter of Proverbs in the 4th verse. It says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. So his point here is that don't put yourself in an atmosphere where you will be inspired to just be rich. If the Lord blesses you, then give the Lord the credit and use it wisely. But he says, don't make that, don't put yourself in an act. You know, if you listen to somebody that preaches wealth and prosperity all the time, did you know you're going to be inspired to do that too? So what do you need to do? You need to think real seriously about listening to someone that's preaching wealth and prosperity to you all the time. You need to really think about not eating the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Did you know that there are people that just have malicious intents? And if we begin to associate with people that have malicious ideas towards others, did you know that we might be inspired to begin to fault find and criticize and be malicious toward others too? I feel like we need to try to help those people that have an evil eye. But don't subject yourself to their influence where we would be inspired to do the same. Okay? What's that? Okay. Well, we'll go to Ezekiel. Okay. I think Ezekiel is where I was at. Ezekiel 18 and 2, 1 and 2. It says, the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. You see, there's an atmosphere here that influences their inspiration. You know, I could put myself in a place where I subjected myself to things that are not truth and soundness. And ultimately, I've read some things, I've studied some things for information purposes because I wanted to be better informed. And it wasn't that I really relished it, because it was like I had to constantly be analyzing the things that I heard or was taken into my head. Not everything that can influence us is on the same level. All right? There are things that can influence us for wrong, and there's things that can influence us for right. Okay? So, if there is something that you're suspicious of, then treat it with suspicion. Don't embrace it, because you might be inspired to do something that was wrong, or start accepting something that's wrong. All right? So, I want us I don't want us to be impacted because something, an environment, is really captivating or really energetic or really persuasive. I want us to be able to think clearly. You know, there are there are things out there that have so much activity going on that it really disguises what's really happening. All right, I'll give you an example. Ever been to this car wash down here on Rangeline that has them hoops in there? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't know the name of the place. Anyway, I've been through there a couple times. Does a pretty good job, I have to say. But when you drive in, they got music playing so loud that the attendant can't hardly hear you and you can't hardly hear them. You know why they play music so loud? Because all of the machinery in there makes a lot of noise. And there's lights and all kinds of stuff going on. I'm telling you, I'm glad when you get to the end, there's this little green light that comes on that says, go. I'm glad to get to that point because I can put my car in gear and go. There is a lot. I'm not saying that you... There's bad influence, and I'm just telling you, there is a lot of stuff going on. There's lights and loud music and high pressure water and brushes and clanking and all that stuff going on. But they're trying to noise. Can you imagine what it'd be like going? Some people wouldn't like it if you went through there and heard all that machinery. It'd be okay with me, but some people wouldn't like that. You know, the devil wants to create something that we feel we get an inspiration for being there, but we don't realize what's going on behind the scenes. You know, there can be someone that is very persuasive, and I don't ever feel like I'm that way, but just I don't have that ability. There'll be people that are very persuasive in their talking and their preaching, and it sounds like, you know, as much enthusiasm as that person has, there's got to be some truth in it, and there may not be any. But we can listen to that and be inspired to make a change in our life that's bad for us. So I want us to be very careful about what we subject ourselves to, because we could be inspired in the wrong direction. You know, the fathers here ate sour grapes. And here's another one. How in the world does a father eating sour grapes cause the children's teeth to be set on edge? I don't know. I don't understand how stripping the bark off of a limb would cause spotted cattle, but the Bible says it happens. Did you know, I think he's talking more about an atmosphere and circumstances around us. You know, we as fathers, we got a responsibility. We can create an atmosphere where our children are inspired to be just like us. And we look at and say, where did you get that? I want to be just like you, Daddy. And we don't even see ourselves sometimes. Lord, help us to consider. I don't mean this, that anybody's doing the wrong thing. I just want us to evaluate where we're at and what we're subjecting ourselves to. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and notice what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in the 16th verse. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You believe that? I do. I believe that's a true statement. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, you get in the right society and there's going to be people that'll tell you that that story of Job in the Bible, that's not true. That didn't happen to a real man. I had somebody say that. There are other people out there that'll say, now, the Apostle Paul, you don't want to really bite into everything he says because he didn't like women. You know, you're going to run into people like that. The only scripture I'll read is the ones that's in red, Jesus' words. You're going to run it. I believe what the Apostle Paul said. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for us. But if we get in the right circumstances, you're going to be inspired to adopt something different from that. Treat it suspiciously. I'm not saying you can't be informed, but treat it suspiciously. Don't be inspired just because they make some logical points. Because you can make some logical points that are wrong. Statistics don't always tell the true story. Alright? You can use statistics to defeat truth. I believe God is still able to inspire individuals as well as give us the word that He inspired. You know, He inspired somebody to write the words that we have for Scripture, and He can still give us inspiration. But what kind of situations are we putting ourselves into to receive our inspiration? One last verse in Philippians, the 4th chapter. Let's go there. This will be the last verse I read to you. 8th verse, 4th chapter of Philippians. It says, finally. That sounds like the end. Finally, my brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's an atmosphere, isn't it? That's an atmosphere that's conducive to proper inspiration. And he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So, I'd like for you to take this thought with you. I'd like for you to take this thought that, you know, there have been those that have gone before us. The Apostle Paul here has went before those that, not just the Philippians, but definitely before us. When we read his letters, his epistles, when we read the words that he was inspired to write, and we think about his life and how he ended up faithful. He says, I'm now ready to be offered, didn't he? I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And those others that we have become acquainted with that have lived with integrity before the Lord, you know, there'll be people come along trying to find fault with them. There'll be people that tell us they've done a lot of wrong things. But when, let's consider how he says, the things you've seen and observed and heard from me, do those things. Create yourself an atmosphere that you can be inspired like Paul was, after the same manner. Don't allow yourself to be drawn away with other influences. Because I'll tell you, you can be inspired to do things that don't look very pretty. You know, I'm getting older, and sometimes older people do weird stuff. Because they get in an atmosphere where they're inspired to try to look like they're not old. Or do something that they don't really have any business doing. And they can do that because the things they've subjected their minds to, where they're at, they can be inspired. Well, somebody else done it when they're 52 or 53 years old. Surely I can too. And you find out that it just don't turn out so well. You know, Lord, help us to not allow those kind of things to influence my inspiration. I want to be inspired to draw closer to the Lord, to be more genuine in my relationship with Him, to be more what God would want me to be. I want to embrace the age bracket that I'm in. I don't want to listen to some kind of propaganda that's going to inspire me to try to be 20 again, because I can't be. I've been there, but I'm not there now. So whether it be in spiritual things or temporal matters or whatever it is, we need to think about the atmospheres we subject ourselves to, because we're going to be inspired. You ever went to somebody's place of business? Maybe somebody that was skilled. Maybe you went to a cabinet shop. And you were there and seen how they'd done some things, and you got out of there and felt inspired to go build some cabinets. You know, that can happen. You come to my place of work, and you can be inspired to go fix your car because of the atmosphere that you was in. Well, they did it. I can do it. You see what I'm saying? I want to be in a place where I'm inspired to get closer to the Lord, instead of suspicious that Christianity is not what it's all cracked up to be. You know, there's a lot of that out there. There's a lot of people that want us to begin to be inspired to begin to tear down what Christianity expects out of me. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. As long as you believe, that's all that matters. You don't have to conform to anything else. There's no such thing as works. Yes, there is. And you'll be inspired to get closer to the Lord if you put yourself in an atmosphere that'll inspire you that direction. Okay? I hope it made sense this morning, and I hope you feel inspired, or will get that way, to draw close to God, to commit your ways to Him and acknowledge Him in all that you do. You pray for me.